on my mind here, as always. First of all, for those of you who heard last night's program, I've gotten nothing but rave reviews about it. It seems like people really liked last night's program, which is good. I'm very glad that you got a lot out of it. A bunch of people saying that they did not know about Alexander Stevens, the vice president of the Confederacy, and the Cornerstone speech. And I'm very glad that I was able to bring that to you all so that you could get a proper understanding and a proper education about it, because let me explain a few things here. I don't take phone calls like I did from the caller Matt last night, defending the Confederate flag and whatnot. I don't take calls like that for the reasons that most people think. I take them as, number one, a teaching moment. I was not trying to convince Matt or anyone else. There's some hard-headed, thick-headed Negroes out there who have to actually have this explained to them, so I will endeavor to explain this briefly tonight. I don't have conversations like that because I'm trying to convince the person on the phone. That is not it. The intended audience is not the person on the phone. The intended audience is first and foremost all of you. So it is intended to provide information and instruction to all of you. Now, why is that? The reason for that is because you cannot beat an enemy if you do not know your enemy. As black people, white society knows everything about us. They know everything. They know about us, our history, our migration patterns, which parts of our history are important to us, and most importantly, why they are. They may be opposed to them, but they know why they're there. Unfortunately, in black society, as the most oppressed people on earth, you would think that we would be the most knowledgeable about everyone else, and it is precisely the opposite. Black people know practically nothing about our opponents. We don't know anything about white people's history beyond what they told you in school. That basically just starts right here in North America, and most of you weren't paying attention to that. You don't know anything about Asian history. You don't know about Genghis Khan, Kublai Khan. You don't know about Ayase Tokugawa, Ho Chi Minh. You don't know anything about them. If it's not involving religion, you don't actually know anything. And that is a horrendous, inexcusable problem. Everybody who dominates us, they know about us, but we don't know about them. So the purpose of that discussion last night was so I could demonstrate to you. The upper hand was not the result of how weak or how strong his arguments were. The upper hand was gained because one of us knew everything about the other guy, and the other guy was weaving his way through it and was trying to figure it out. It was no contest because one of us thought he knew his history, and the other one actually knew it. One of us was posting memes of pictures talking about ignorance, and the other one actually knew the history. That was the difference. That was the only difference. You have the upper hand, you have the power when you got knowledge that you can execute. And I wanted all of you to hear that, because as black people, one of the most ignorant fallacies you're hearing today is from people who don't know anything about history, saying that we should not engage in things like that. Here's the problem. This is among black people who can't tell them anything. We have a bunch of people who can't tell us anything, can't teach us anything. There's nothing to learn from them, but they've got the most talking to do. One of the big problems I hear are people trying to philosophize their way through these things. You cannot bluff your way through a debate like that. You cannot bluff your way through a discussion like that. Last night, he tried to bring in about the Encyclopedia Britannica. And if you don't know the actual history, you will get bamboozled by someone spouting philosophy and ideology. Now, I don't mean knowing history from an anecdotal perspective. Most black folk can sit here and they can drone on and on and on about ancient Kemet. Their knowledge, however, doesn't extend beyond Egypt. Ask about Nubia, Ethiopia. Practically all of them get quiet at that point. Well, the history we need to hear about is, what do you know about white people's history? Because they're telling us that everything is fine today, and that we are the cause of our own problem. So I need to know about their history. All of a sudden, your talking heads are going to get real quiet. All of a sudden, they don't have quite so much to say anymore. So my teaching moments are so that all of you will learn, so that among yourselves you can have reality. Now you can start building things. Now you understand that the Confederate flag is not just offensive, it is a violent oppression. And when you understand the people who created it, you understand that it is inexcusable. It's not a difference of opinion. It is not a symbol of Southern heritage. It is a symbol of barbarism and crimes against humanity that a group of white people in America were willing to fight and kill and die to create a nation state, to create before the word terrorism was used, to create a terrorist state. Not a state sponsor of terrorism, but to create a nation state dedicated to the practice of terrorism against black people. And if a white person said to most of you, that's not true, that never happened, it was just about states' rights, it was about taxation, it was about overreach by the federal government. If you don't know what Jefferson Davis and Alexander Stevens and all their ilk really did, you get taken in. And you would think that this is a discussion about class, which is where he was trying to go yesterday. He was trying to say that this was a matter of class. It was classism. And it's not. It was about terrorism against black people, and it's not new. So before we go any further, I want to make sure that that is clarified. You can't beat white supremacy until you know it, till you know your enemy, inside out, forward and backward, upside down, 7 days a week. You can't beat it until you know it better than it knows itself, because they spend all of their time learning you better than you know yourself. You can't beat an enemy that you are completely and totally ignorant of. You can't beat him. And that is why with discussions like last night, I demonstrated to you that when you know your enemy as well as you know yourself, then he cannot beat you on any level. All of a sudden, when you tell him, I've got the solution to white supremacy, because I know your history forward and backwards, I know it better than you, so sit at the feet of the African, be quiet, and learn. Most black people are not accustomed to being able to do that. Sad to say. Most black people are not accustomed to being able to do that. Now, did you notice I didn't get emotional? For some of you brain-dead folk raised as bastard babies by hoodrats and lures, I didn't get emotional. I wasn't name-calling. I didn't sit up here, you dirty white bastard! I didn't go on personal attacks. I said, let's take a look at the facts in front of us and let us see if this is civilized or barbarism. Let us take a look at the people involved and is this civilized or barbarism. And you witnessed as the walls fell and their backs were broken. That's a rare instance for black people. Most black people, we send out our dumbest and our densest. John Lewis, John Conyers, Elijah Cummings, James Clyburn, Red Al. They're not very bright. They're not very articulate. They're not very good thinkers. But they're the spokespeople in black society. Not because they're our best and brightest, but because our dumbest and densest are the ones who usually are first to jump up and speak. And I wanted you to understand what black excellence looks like. Now that you've seen what it looks like, you understand what the standard is, and you have an obligation not to fall below that standard. You can go over it, but you cannot go below it. Because there is a price to pay. If you don't meet the standard, there's a price to pay for not meeting it. You find that your soul becomes eligible for sale. That's what you find. When you don't know your enemies as well as you know yourselves, your soul is for sale. And that brings me to something that I wanted to discuss here. Now, last night I told you that you have to know your enemy as well as you know yourself. Tonight we're going a little bit further into it here. Now, I'm from Louisiana, and there is a restaurant chain named Popeye's Chicken. If you just look at the boxes, for those of you who have a Popeye's Chicken where you are, it says Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. Okay, fine. Recently, there was a commercial called Wingovations. Not Innovation, but Wingovations. Starring former San Francisco 49ers running back Jerry Rice. This commercial was the most despicably, shockingly, embarrassingly coonish, buffoonish, babblingish thing that we have witnessed since Step and Fetch It and Amos and Andy. I want to play the commercial so you all can hear it. They had like an NFL theme to it. I'm going to play it so you can hear it. And then I'm going to come back and explain a couple of things to you about it.
Now, we all know football is better with Popeyes, right, Annie?
That's right, Mike.
What if I told you there's an even better way to enjoy your favorite game time snack? They're called Wingovations.
Wingovations.
Products that help enhance your football-watching, wing-eating experience. Now, I don't know about you, Annie, but football legend and wing aficionado Jerry Rice and I like to eat classic Cajun wings and play catch at the same time. So we made Taste Max. 360 degrees of pure wing rotation for hands-free wing eating. Huh? Looking for easy access to dipping sauces? That's where the Sauce Dome comes in. The hat that puts all your favorite flavors inches away from your taste buds. And if you're tired of ruining shirts with dipping sauce, you need Popeye's greatest wingovation, the napkin shirt.
Absorb it.
And we've got tons more.
We're all about sharing the fun when it comes to adding even more innovations to your favorite game time snack.
Football is better with Popeye.
Now, this was intended to be a satirical thing here about football. I'll post the link in the chat room. Now, this thing is a couple weeks old here, which is fine. But there's a reason why I wanted to talk about it now. There's a reason why I wanted to discuss now. And the reason why I wanted to discuss it now is because I had noticed something. I had noticed that there was some similarities in some things that I had seen. There were some similarities there. If you all remember here, a few weeks back, there was a picture passed around of Cuba Gooding Jr. after some awards show, I think it was, and he had a KFC chicken bucket on top of his head. He looked completely depressed. He looked emotionally unstable. And he had a Colonel Sanders chicken bucket perched atop his flat noggin. One time is an incident. Now comes Jerry Rice. This Negro is literally wearing Popeye's buckets on top of his head in the form of a football helmet. Not just that, he's wearing that, all of their condiments. It was the most strange thing you'll ever witness. At the end of the commercial, he is literally holding, it's about the size of a damn hula hoop. He's literally holding a giant buttermilk biscuit under his arm, like he's rushing to the end zone. Not with the pig skin, but with the biscuit. I couldn't help but notice twice is a trend. Once is an incident. Twice is a trend. Three times is a pattern. Now, I don't know if Jerry Rice is having financial troubles. I don't know what the case is. But when you're Jerry Rice, there's no such thing as financial troubles. Do you all know what he can make if he holds an event doing autographs? Do you know how much money you can make at that? I mean, so let's stop the nonsense. That's why you see very few NFL players talk to people. Once you've been in the NFL, you can make money just showing up somewhere. So don't let anybody fool you. All he's got to do is show up for an event at the mall and there'll be people lined up. But I wanted to take a moment to dissect what you witnessed in that commercial. Now, much has been stated about Jerry Rice in the commercial. Much should be stated about him. However, there are some points that people have not been seeing, and the Black Channel exists for the purposes of illuminating those points. First of all, let's take a look at it. In this commercial, which is easily the most expensive one they've ever done, they had three people in the commercial, only three people. Jerry Rice, Annie, she's the woman who is the mascot slash spokesperson for Popeye's Chicken, you see him on those commercials. Black lady who doesn't look quite Angelina-ish, but there she is. And then some guy named Mike. Now, I'm not an aficionado of Popeye's commercials. I don't think I've ever seen this Mike guy before. I'm pretty sure this is just a spoof. But be that as it may, what that tells you is in this chicken commercial, black people are 13% of the American population. But in this commercial, we were 66% of the people in that commercial. Two-thirds of the people in that commercial were black. That's the first thing that should stick out at you. Somebody in the chat room said that Annie was the chicken wench. I guess bed wenching is going to a ridiculous extreme. That could do. Now, here's the issue that a couple of issues that come out of me. First of all, two-thirds of people in the commercial are black. That is the first thing that jumped out at me. Second of all, there was a difference. There was a very profound difference from the way that the white guy was presented and the way that the black folk were presented, including Jerry Rice. The white guy is very straight-laced, like it's auditioning for a real life position in the sports broadcasting booth. He's literally doing that. Very straight-laced. Keith Olbermann-esque. But when you look at it, the white guy is very straight-laced. He's very matter-of-fact. Very professional. He's talking about chicken parts, fried chicken parts, and dipping sauce, but it's as straight as it can be. And then I compare them to the other people in the commercial. They were not straight-laced at all. They were not straight-laced at all. Annie, at the beginning of the commercial, she talked, and then Angela Rice is up there. She's just making faces. First, she looks shocked, which really was very, very reminiscent of the rest of us when we saw it. Jerry Rice is sitting there. He's winking. And while he's not over the top with his gesticulations, where he's not over the top with his expressions and how he expressed himself, he wasn't straight-laced. It was very obvious he was the comic relief. Very obvious he was the comic relief. The white dude was the straight guy. Then there was one other thing that caught my attention. Did you all notice that the white guy, Mike, the only white person on the screen, this is supposed to be imitating an NFL pregame, postgame, whatever show. Did you notice something I don't think I've ever seen before? The white guy, Mike, was dressed like he belonged in a broadcast booth. He had on a suit. Annie, the black spokeswoman next to him, she was wearing the exact same thing that she wears in all their commercials. Now, for those of you who don't know, in all of the Popeye's chicken commercials, Annie wears this orange polo shirt. I mean, well, orange on the wings, like burgundy, light burgundy, red t-shirt is what she's wearing. Basically, it's the outfit. It's not a polo shirt, it's just a regular t-shirt, but it's got orange around the ribbing of the neck and the arms. And she's dressed like a Popeye's employee. She's not dressed like Mike's equal. She is dressed like a Popeye's employee. Like she's dressed like a cashier. No, I'm sorry. She's not even dressed like a cashier because cashiers don't wear the apron. Only the people who fry the chicken wear the aprons. So she didn't even look like one of the desk people or one of the people at the front counter when you get to Popeye's. She didn't even look like one of them. She was dressed like, in all the commercials, they have her dressed like one of the fry cooks. And in this commercial, Mike is sitting there in a suit, and next to Mike is this surreal image of this black woman wearing a fried chicken frying outfit. Like she's a minimum wage employee. That's exactly what she's dressed like. Now, maybe someone can explain that to me. Until someone can explain to me why it is that someone in her position, if this commercial is supposed to be satirical and whatnot, okay. Why is she not dressed like Mike? Boy, they sure went to great lengths to be able to definitely illustrate a differentiation between the two of them. Now, some people might see that as simply anachronistic. Look it up. Some people might simply see that as something not in its proper place. But they made it very clear. The white guy is clean cut. He's wearing a suit. He looks like he belongs in the broadcast booth. Annie looks like she's auditioning for the sequel to The Help. Jerry Rice, by the way, the shirt that Jerry Rice was wearing, if you take a look at the end of the commercial, because he'll wear a button-up shirt too, understand something. His says Popeyes too, okay? The white guy, Mike, he's just wearing a suit. That's all he's wearing. He doesn't have a name tag. He doesn't have anything. He's just wearing a suit. That's all. Annie is wearing a fry cook employee's outfit for Popeyes, like it's like she just fried up the wings they got on the table in front of her. She's got a shirt that says her name on it, Annie, which is what you do to employees facing the public. And then you've got Jerry Rice. Now, both of these two black folks are branded for the Popeyes Corporation. They're both branded. She's wearing the Popeyes brand that says Popeyes on her apron. Jerry Rice is wearing a shirt that apparently is going to be novel for a napkin shirt, okay? And it's got the Popeyes name and the Popeyes logo all over it like polka dots. Then he's wearing this ridiculous football helmet that's got the Popeyes logo on that. Mike isn't wearing either of those things. He's not. They did not brand Mike. They branded Annie. They branded Jerry. They did not brand Mike at all. Annie has on the employee's shirt, the employee's apron. Jerry has on the company logo on his helmet, on his shirt, on the gloves. He's got one of their biscuits under his arm. The white dude, Mike, he's the one who looks anachronistic. Mike is the one who looks like he doesn't belong there. When two-thirds of the people in the room are dressed like Annie, and you come in with a suit, you don't look like you belong there. Thank you, Bartholomew. Now you got it. When you walk into a business and you see the employees dressed for manual labor, and then you see one guy wearing a suit is not what you wear for manual labor. A suit is what you wear to present yourself to people for intellectual things, not for manual labor. You don't do manual labor in a business suit. The owner of the business where the people do the manual labor, he is the one who wears the business suit. I'm trying to connect some dots for you here because Donald Trump winning the presidency sent up a big boom to everybody out there that it's time. It is time to roll back the 20th century. And all of the social gains that black people made in the 20th century, it's time to roll them all back. It is time to openly begin the assault on black people's image. Openly. First they started with dumb niggas, now they're moving on up. Now Annie does it for a living. She works for Popeyes full time. What was the reason for pulling Jerry Rice into this? I saw dozens of people who were commenting that Jerry Rice is my favorite football player. Bunch of black folk. Jerry Rice. No, not Jerry, my favorite football player. Not Jerry. Jerry was my favorite football player. Do you think that you're the only ones who realize that? Do you all remember O.J. Simpson? He couldn't just go to Hertz, rent a car. He's got to jump the turnstiles. Now Jerry Rice. Now Jerry Rice. And you haven't seen the end of it. Because there are a bunch of folk out there. If Jerry Rice is willing to leverage his dignity. And then a bunch of other people say, you know what? I can leverage mine too. If he's willing to do it, what's wrong with me leveraging mine? Jerry did it. These people have mastered co-opting entire cultures. They have mastered the art of co-opting entire cultures. And what they've done is they've taken one of your football icons and they said, if we can break this buck, we can roll back everything Colin Kaepernick's been trying to do. They can neutralize. Colin Kaepernick represents the young, the vanguard. So white supremacy did what it has mastered the art of doing. It went back to the older generation. They didn't try to go after one of Colin Kaepernick's peers. They went after the older generation. Because they've always been able to depend on them to sell out the young. And that's what you're seeing here. They get one of them old niggas. And yes, I know Jerry Rice was talking trash about Kaepernick and he tried the All Lives Matter and got himself raked over the coals. But he said... He tried to act like he was contrite and he didn't mean All Lives Matter like that. But then now he's doing wingovations. Don't you understand? He is stubbing his nose at black people. Don't you know he's stubbing his nose at black people? Now, some of you will say that this is just coincidental. But people, they know our history. They know our social nuances. They know where we tripped and slipped and fell. They know. The only people who don't know is us. We're the only people who don't know. And we don't know their history of repeatedly using these types of tactics to accomplish a very specific goal. That they make your icon start cooning, and if they can get enough of you to see that as acceptable, you stop fighting for dignity. You have redefined being undignified as having dignity. I'm not this football fan like that. I couldn't tell you about Jerry Rice's stats. I couldn't tell you when he started playing or stopped playing. I know he played back during the 80s with Joe Montana. I know that. And I'm wondering some things to myself. Could you all imagine Joe Montana doing that commercial? Racial implications to the side. Could you imagine Joe Montana doing a commercial like that? Could you all imagine in the NBA, Yao Ming? Could you imagine Yao Ming doing a commercial for Panda Express? With a bunch of sweet and sour sauce on a towel around his head and a big-ass fortune cookie tucked under his arm. Yeah, let's be literal about this. Could you imagine Yao Ming doing that commercial? And he's from China. He's not even from America. He's from China, and I don't think anybody thinks he would do that. No. Maybe that's because he gets the difference between people laughing with you and people laughing at you. This is not about money, this is about dignity. Jerry Rice has simply demonstrated that he gave up his a long time ago. You take a look at Annie in the Popeyes commercials. Now, if you take a look at a place like, I don't know, I want to say like Boston Market or Moody's or Applebee's, Do they bring out the fry cook as when they have those commercials and they're like showing this actor pretending to be an employee? Do they get one of the cooks or one of the servers or one of the dishwashers? Do they dress up the actor as one of their dishwashers to represent their company? Let's talk about image there. And whether it's Wendy's, McDonald's, whatever, do they bring out somebody dressed like they're scrubbing the toilets to represent their company in their ads? Have you all ever seen a white woman in a chicken commercial dressed like she was one of the fry cooks representing their company? I'll wait for somebody to call me on that one. Have you ever seen that before? Do you think you ever would see it? That you represent this company and you're next to somebody in a suit wearing a fry cook's outfit. Yes, you're correct. They show the white folks as the chefs. They don't bring out the fry cook. They don't bring out the dishwasher. They don't bring out the janitor. They go to the most esteemed employee in charge of making what you have. Or they just do something totally different altogether. And that's my point. Trying to make a point to you here that you might not think it was significant, and maybe you didn't really see how deep the psychology of it goes, but there is no way on this side of Spanky Southwest Hell that that commercial was accidental or incidental. It was all too real. They've been thinking about it. They've been watching it. They know what they're doing. They've been stacking it up. They super calibrated for maximum effectiveness. That you saw this black woman dressed as a fry cook sitting next to a white man in a suit, and you didn't think there was something hideously wrong with that image. Point this out to you now because there will be variations on that kind of thing. There will be variations on it. You're going to see that type of thing have variations. And when it does, next time they come back with it, it will be something totally different. Okay, in the chat room there, Anonymous2070, why don't you give us a call up here right now? You need to give us a call. We'll go ahead and see if we can get you on so you can explain some of these things that you're typing in the chat room. Don't make any more comments in the chat at all. We'll give you an opportunity to give us a call here, and you can explain your position on some of these things. And that way we can all get a better understanding of exactly what it is you're trying to say. That's something else. Understand, people, the Black Channel is different from anything else you will ever find anywhere. People can dispute. That's fine. You can do that. But you can't do it in a chat room, and you can't do it in a comment section. You have to do it where people can hear you, because once they get an opportunity to hear it, it kind of enlightens them to exactly what's going on. Now, apparently Anonymous has dyslexia or something. Let me put the number on the screen for you here, because they're trying to play dumb now. The number was already typed in the chat room for you before, but that's all you need. Some folks, like I say, it's, as black people in outside black society, when people say dumb things, it gets stopped because they're immediately held accountable. In black society, too often, individuals are afraid to hold them to account. And the reason is usually because most black people are not really sure of what it is that's wrong. They hear something wrong, but they're not really sure what it is. This is a place where we're really sure about it. We're very sure about these things. So we give people an opportunity to do that. Now, what I'm going to do here, just let us know what area code we're calling from, Anonymous. Anonymous 2070, let us know what area code you're calling from, and we will make sure you're first in line. As a matter of fact, I won't even take any calls other than that. I won't even take any calls beyond that. So, definitely give us a call here. I won't tell people what was said there because I don't want to waste time on that. But it's not a money issue. It's about the fact that there are Negroes in our society who are demonstrating what they really feel and what they're really about. They're demonstrating it. You see, they're scared. Now, I've stated before that adversity reveals what you really are at your core. When you are at your core of your being, that reveals what you really are. When you know that the pressure is on and the heat's coming down, you're going to have to revert to who you really are at heart. Issue on your end. We'll see about that. I've got more than one way to be able to take care of that kind of thing, though. You're on right now. I'm not really sure exactly what's happening there. It should be showing everything playing, but for some reason they're saying they're having trouble getting to it. But you know what? Whatever the case may be with that, that's fine. I don't really need that either, to be totally honest.